Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
The field comes off the turn and enters the stretch. Here's Tribavan, the challenge channel maker, and here's Gofo on the outside. Gofo has now taken a narrow lead. Channel maker, Tribavan, and Japan all chasing Gofo as they come down for the finish. Japan with one last try on the outside. Gofo and Japan, and Gofo got it. Gofo by a head to win the Resorts World Casino Sword Dancer Stakes, a thriller after 12 furlongs.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Dave Friedman on Friday, October the 8th. We've got 15 graded races around North America to look at this evening. 8 on Saturday, 7 on Sunday. Dave, are you ready for another big evening?
It's going to be fantastic and fast-paced. We got so many races to get through.
Don't forget the fourth week of the Belmont Fall Horse Racing season comes with new opportunities to get ready for the Breeders' Cup 2021. Enjoy a special promotion for new Naira Betts users for up to $200 first deposit match. Just use the promo code HRRN200. And in addition, for this weekend only, win and you're in with the Naira Betts Breeders' Cup Challenge Pick 6 contest. Check it out, presented by America's Day at the Races, running on FS2 every afternoon, now through Sunday, where the team will provide live coverage of Belmont Park and Churchill Downs all fall. Okay, we're going to dive right in with three big stakes on the Saturday card at Belmont Park, starting with their fifth race tomorrow. It's the $250,000 Grade 2 Vosburgh Stakes. Three-year-olds and up sprinting 6 furlongs on the main track. Field of 5 here, Dave. I was a little bit surprised at the morning line. I thought with all of his past credentials and his graded stakes wins that Firenze Fire would be the morning line favorite in the race. Not necessarily that he would win the race, but that he would be the morning line favorite. But David Aragona, who's usually pretty sharp with these things, has laid the up-and-comer Baby Yoda as the 7-5 favorite on the morning line. He is riding a 2-race win streak and comes off a gigantic effort against allowance competition at Saratoga last time out.
Yeah, I think it's a 2-horse race, and those are the two. And the question is, do you trust the fig from Baby Yoda last time out? It was a sparkling performance, obviously stepping way, way up in class here. The 114 buyer that Baby Yoda put together is the highest number recorded by any horse at Saratoga all season. And you know all of the good racing they have there, but facing much, much better here. Are you going to play the 3-year-old Florida bred up-and-comer, or kind of the older, the 6-year-old Florida-bred Firenze Fire, who has been there and done that? For me, if Firenze Fire is going to be the second choice in this race, coming off a brilliant work, coming off a good second in the Grade 1 Forego, that crazy end to the race where he savaged Yalpon and maybe cost himself the win, I'm going to go back to Firenze Fire.
I'm going to go to Firenze Fire as well. Not that I think he lays over this field. He doesn't. There are other horses in here that can win. Following C ran a race 3 races ago against allowance competition that would probably make him the one to beat, but his 2 races against stakes competition since haven't been nearly as good. I don't know what to make of that last race from Baby Yoda. If you're somebody who normally believes buyer speed figures, then you're to believe that he ran even faster than what Flightline ran when he was so impressive winning an allowance race at Del Mar. And I don't think very many of us believe that this horse ran faster than Flightline ran. That being said, Baby Yoda's obviously very talented. He does have a big shot in here. But like you, Dave, I'm going to try Firenze Fire just because of the price and because, you know what, I think his best efforts come at Belmont Park, and he returns to his favorite racetrack tomorrow in the Grade 2 Vosburgh. Race 6 on the Saturday card at Belmont Park is the Grade 3 $150,000 Matron. 2-year-old fillies going 6 furlongs on the inner turf and a full field of 12.
Yeah, it's a really competitive race. There are a lot of different ways you can go here. I ended up with a horse that I think is going to be a little bit of a price, but that's not to say that Lady Dene is significantly better than these. I liked her effort as a first-time starter, a really strong win at 11-1 in a Saratoga maiden special weight, came back as the favorite at Kentucky Downs, and I thought really ran against the bias, was wide throughout a race that had reasonably quick fractions. I don't know if she didn't like the Kentucky Downs surface. She finished fifth in a field of 11. It wasn't an embarrassing performance. Mystic Eyes beat her that day. Several in this race. Poppy Flower beat her that day. I'm just going to toss that race out, go back to the original race, her maiden special weight. I thought she ran really, really well, and I'm expecting a strong effort out of a horse that was bred for 10 grand and then sold for 210.
We're on the same horse here. Lady, I just give her an excuse for running there at Kentucky Downs. Not all runners do as well at Kentucky Downs as they do on quote-unquote conventional turf courses, and vice versa. There are some runners that run better at Kentucky Downs than maybe they do on conventional. I'm going to throw that last race out for Lady Dene. Her debut effort is good enough to make her the one to beat for me, and at 6-1, much better price than we saw last time out. Should mention the fact that the Wesley Ward trainee, Chi-Town Lady, who will be one of the favorites if she runs in this race, is also entered the next day in the Futurity against the boys. So as of now, as of this taping, we don't know what race Chi-Town Lady is going to go in. She will be a major player whether she runs against the girls in the Matron or the boys Sunday in the Futurity. The Matron goes as race 6 tomorrow at Belmont Park. Seventh race is the $500,000 Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. Three-year-olds and up going a mile and a half on the turf. We've got a field of seven, and it marks the return of the 1-2 finishers from the Grade 1 Sword Dancer. Gufo, the winner that day at odds of 5-2. Japan, second place, also 5-2. Japan didn't have the greatest trip that day. Do you think he can turn the tables on Gufo?
I do. The Sword Dancer was one of the few stakes races at Saratoga this year that I had handicapped perfectly. I thought it was a reasonably evenly matched field, and the two horses I keyed on, Gufo and Japan, ran 1-2. I would have preferred Japan in the race, and I think Japan was actually the better horse in the race. As you mentioned, had some trouble in there. Gufo loves long distances. I think the three turns at Saratoga might be better than the two turns at Belmont, though the horse won at this distance, at this track, two back. They finally figured it out. Christoph Clement, Joel Rosario, Gufo loves marathons and loves making that big final surge at the end. Japan is a horse that I liked in Europe, I thought would run well here, now second time in North America, and Aidan O'Brien has been terrific this year sending horses to the U.S.
So we're on the same two horses. I'm going to take Gufo once again to get the job done, and the only reason is I happen to think that the jockey who rode Japan last time out and his regular rider, Ryan Moore, is one of the best riders in the world. I'm not saying necessarily the best, but certainly one of the best riders in the world. And when you go from Ryan Moore to basically anyone else, it's almost certainly a downgrade, in my opinion. The same way of saying when a horse goes from Irad Ortiz to somebody else or Joel Rosario to somebody else, it's almost always a downgrade. That is not to say that Wayne Lorden isn't a good rider, but the fact of the matter is this horse couldn't get the job done with Ryan Moore. Maybe Wayne Lorden gives him a clean trip and he gets the job done. You're going to get a better price, certainly, because Wayne Lorden's aboard. I'm going to stick with Gufo in this spot to repeat and get his third straight win. He won the Grand Couturier at Belmont. He won the Grade 1 Sword Dancer. I think he's going to win the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic tomorrow, race 7 on the Belmont card, $500,000 on the line. We're going to skip over to Keeneland now. They've got a huge day of racing tomorrow. Of course, opening day was today. They've got five big graded stakes on the card tomorrow, and the first one we'll look at is race number 6, the Grade 2 Woodford, $200,000 on the line for the three-year-olds and up, going 5.5 furlongs on the turf. And Dave, all eyes will be on number 2, Golden Pal. He is 4-5 on the morning line.
Yeah, Wesley Ward has said this might be the best horse he has ever had, and that is really saying something. Yet when I've watched Golden Powell, you've seen him go off at, you know, 2-5 and 1-5 and 4-5, and he's won races here, and he's won them impressively. When he's gone across the pond to face the best of the best, he's fell a little bit short. It seems to me it's either the 3-year-old Golden Powell in here or the 8-year-old Extravagant Kid who ran pretty well in America. I think you really have to toss out those dirt races, Fairgrounds and Gulfstream Park at the beginning of the year, and go back to his races late in 2020 when he was kind of running second against grade one, grade two competition consistently. Went overseas, won a race in Dubai. This summer has run okay, not bet particularly big, in top-notch races in Europe. And I think Extravagant Kid at about 3-1 may offer some betting value here. I would say Golden Powell is the most likely winner, but I'm going to bet on Extravagant Kid.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. As impressive as Golden Powell has been, I think he fools Wesley Ward into thinking he's better than he really is. He's destroying fields here. He's not even a factor when he go, you know, when he went over to York last time out. Yeah, he ran very well at Ascot last year as a 2-year-old. But the fact is that I think that Golden Powell, 5.5 furlongs, is right about the edge of his distance. He was able to blitz 3-year-olds. Listen, he may just be better than I think. There's a lot of horses out there that have turned out a lot better than I originally thought they were going to be. Medina Spirit is certainly one of those. But Golden Powell, yes, he's going to show speed. Will he be able to clear horses like Firecrow in this race? I don't know. I think Extravagant Kid is going to come running once again. Whether or not he can get there at 5.5 furlongs to beat Golden Pal is another thing, but I'm with you. I'd rather take a shot with Extravagant Kid at a better price. And by the way, even though he's 0-5 on the turf at Keeneland, he ran some very good races on this turf course last year, including a second in this race to Leinster, only beaten a half a length, and he was only a length back in winning the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint behind Glass Slippers in that really roughly run edition of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint last year at Keeneland. So I think he likes the turf course, even though he hasn't officially got a win. Extravagant Kid for me as well in the Grade 2 Woodford. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll head back out to Keeneland for 4 more graded stakes on tomorrow's card. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
World-class racing is back at the Great Race Place, spectacular Santa Anita Park, and be sure to join us for special holiday racing this Monday, Columbus Day. On Monday, we'll have $1 beers and $2 hot dogs with first post time all weekend at 1 o'clock. And fans, get into the spirit of the season as this is our final weekend for Oktoberfest on the grandstand apron. We've got traditional German beers, food, and German music throughout the day, so come join the fun. Oktoberfest ticketing is available online or in person. And bring the kids, our infield family fun zone is back with just $5 covering parking, admission, and racing program. You can also take a shot through closing day, October 31st, at a prize pool of $12,000 in our new Pick'em game by choosing a series of racing and sports props at santaanita.com/contests. Walk-up admission is once again welcome, and we hope to see you soon here at spectacular Santa Anita.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Then comes Altica as the field comes into the stretch. It is Summer Romance trying to go wire to wire. Harvey's Little Girl on the outside is Altica. Down towards the rail is Pocket Square. Summer Romance, here's stablemate Altica driving up on the outside. Altica has taken over. Summer Romance is second. It is Altica and Manny Franco to win the Diana Stakes. Altica, Summer Romance, 1-2.
John Imbrial on the call of this year's Grade 2 Diana, won impressively by Altica, her second straight graded stakes win in a row since arriving in North America, and she figures to be one of the ones to beat in the Grade 1 First Lady tomorrow at Keeneland. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman taking you through all the graded stakes action this weekend around North America, 15 races in all. So let's get right back to it at Keeneland tomorrow. Their seventh race on the card is the Grade 2 $250,000 Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes. Fillies and mares sprinting 6 furlongs on the main track. We've got a field of 6, Dave, and most of the eyes are going to come on the inside and outside runners. Inside is Frank's Roquette. Outside is Bell's the One.
And Frank's Roquette is a nice horse, a 2-time Grade 2 winner, including a victory at the Belmont Park about a year ago. Came up short, in fact, wasn't anywhere close at 6-1 in the Breeders' Cup sprint in his only career race, or her only career race, at Keeneland. This year, a couple of victories in 5 tries, but of the lesser variety, not graded stakes action. And the last 2 races at Colonial and Prairie Meadows are certainly not of the caliber of fields that Frank's Roquette is facing today. Bell's the One is the complete opposite. She has faced some really good ones, Gamine and Kamari and Guarana. And last time out, didn't run great, finished second to Sconson, 2 back, won the Honorable Miss Saratoga. I am an enormous fan of this horse. I think she gives you her best effort just about every time out. She's working beautifully. I expect her to win.
I expect her to win as well, and it's not so much that I think she lays over this field, because I don't think she lays over this field, but I know she likes running at Keeneland, and I have an inkling that number one Frank's Roquette does not like running without Lasix. Her one race without Lasix in the winning colors where she was 3-5, I know it doesn't look that bad on paper. She was awful that day. She had a good trip. She was terrible down the stretch. And I think the reason they brought her to Prairie Meadows for the $100,000 ungraded Sailorville after that was so she could run somewhere where they allowed them to run on Lasix in stakes races. They allow it in Iowa. They allow it in Virginia. So she got to run on Lasix at Colonial. No Lasix again tomorrow at Keeneland. I think that's going to be a factor for Frank's Roquette. I think she may be a little bit dull down the stretch again. If she's not, if she runs her good races, she can beat Bell's the One. But I'm going to look at Bell's the One to get the job done in the TCA Race 7 tomorrow at Keeneland. The 8th race on the card is the Grade 1 $400,000 First Lady for the Fillies and Mares going 1 mile on the turf. Big field of 13 here, Dave. Where'd you end up?
Well, I think you can go a lot of different ways. If you give me 7-2 on Altiqua, I'll take her all day long. I just think she's a dynamic horse. Everything Charles Appleby has sent to this country this year has been good. He's 6-13. The loss in her final race in Europe, or I guess it was in Dubai against Summer Romance, was really, really good. Came here and beat Summer Romance in the Just a Game, beat Summer Romance in the Diana. She's as impressive as a horse as we've seen on the turf all summer in America. I'm a huge fan of Altequa. If you give me 7-2, I'll take her. I think there's several others that are kind of interesting. Harvey's Little Goyle in a race that maybe doesn't have a ton of pace, I think would be possible. Empress Josephine for Aidan O'Brien, I think is certainly not out of the realm of possibilities. I don't like Viadera's Post, but boy, 8-1 on Viadera, that's tempting too.
Yeah, I think that Altequa is definitely the one to beat off those two efforts she's shown thus far. Jamie Spencer, who, as far as I know, has never ridden this Daughter of Dark Angel, coming over from Europe and picking up the mount on the Charlie Appleby trainee. And Charlie Appleby, boy, what a show he put on in North America last week, what, between New York and up at Woodbine. So Altequa, I think, is going to get the job done. I think 7-2 would be a gift. The ones I would use with her, number 6, Regal Glory, who almost always runs a good race and is in great form right now. And you mentioned number 8, Harvey's Little Goyle. She has some races that I think would make her a contender, coming off a poor effort on the dirt last time out. I don't think you can really hold that against her. We'll see if she improves getting back to what looks like her preferred surface. The Grade 1 First Lady, race 8 tomorrow at Keeneland. 9th race tomorrow at Keeneland is the $500,000 Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity for the 2-year-olds going a mile and a 16th on the main track, and we've got a huge field of 13 going to post.
I had a really difficult time with this race. Maybe you have some perspective. Do you think the pace is going to be hot or slow in here?
Well, there are certainly enough front-running or pace-pressing types that look like it would be an honest pace. And you know what? I'm going to start in here while you go in that. I don't know how I would play this race, because I think the horse that I like the best is drawn in post 13, and that's Classic Causeway, coming off a monstrous 7-furlong debut effort where he won by almost seven lengths, beat a horse named Trafalgar, who came back and got his maiden win in his next start. And Classic Causeway, being by Giant's Causeway out of a Thunder Gulch mare, is bred to be even better going long. But it is the 13 hole, and it's not like they're running a mile and a quarter and you've got forever to get to that turn. So Jose Ortiz is really going to have to work some magic to either clear the field, which I don't think will happen, or get in behind and save some ground, basically get caught 4 or 5 wide. All things equal, I like Classic Causeway, and I like the 5-1 morning line. I can't stand the post, and it may stop me from playing him.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I like Classic Causeway, too. I just wonder if Classic Causeway is going to be spent early on, wide, and then you mentioned it could be a speed duel on top of that. None of those things are particularly appealing. I like Classic Causeway. I like Stellar Tap as two horses that will be out there running. But if the pace is too quick, I wonder if Double Thunder down on the rail, or maybe Great Escape, number 9, can win this race off the pace. If you make me pick one, I guess I'm going to go with Great Escape. Rodolfo Brissett has tremendous numbers coming back. And middle distance and sprint to route, and he fits really nicely in here. But I think this is a wide open race, and I'll be spreading.
Yeah, and I would use Great Escape as well. He's certainly the one of the ones that I think has a big chance. Tough renewal of the Breeders' Futurity. Dave going with Great Escape. I'm going with number 13, Classic Causeway. Both decent prices on the morning line. 10th race on the Keeneland card tomorrow is the Grade 1 $750,000 Keeneland Turf Mile. This is a race that used to be called the Shadwell Turf Mile, but now it's the Keeneland Turf Mile, 3-year-olds and up, going 1 mile on the turf. Another sizable field, 13 of them set to go, Dave.
Yeah, it's another huge field, and another one where if Order of Australia is 7-2, I'll take that. I'm not sure I believe that morning line. What has that horse done that leads us to believe you're not going to get an A effort? And quite frankly, her A effort, I think, is better than these.
Well, his A effort was certainly good enough to win the Breeders' Cup Mile last year at odds of 73-1. You're not going to get 73-1 this year on Order of Australia in the Keeneland Turf Mile, but he's certainly one of the ones. I'm using him, but I'm going to key number 6, Ivor, who actually won this race last year at odds of 14-1, came back and was only beaten 2 lengths by Order of Australia in the Breeders' Cup Mile, then came back off a long layoff. Ran fair, not great, in the Turf Classic at Churchill, and he's been off again. I know he likes Keeneland. I know he's capable of running good races off layoffs, and he's very versatile. He can show speed. He can close whatever jockey Joe Talamo wants him to do. 5-1 on Ivor. We'll see if he can get I can get him to repeat in the Keeneland Turf Mile. Goes as race 10 tomorrow at Keeneland. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll start looking at the Sunday action. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
World-class racing is back at the Great Race Place, Spectacular Santa Anita Park, and be sure to join us for special holiday racing this Monday, Columbus Day. On Monday, we'll have $1 beers and $2 hot dogs with first post time all weekend at 1 o'clock. And fans, get into the spirit of the season as this is our final weekend for Oktoberfest on the grandstand apron. We've got traditional German beers, food, and German music throughout the day, so come join the fun. Oktoberfest ticketing is available online or in person. And bring the kids. Our Infield Family Fun Zone is back with just $5 covering parking, admission, and racing program. You can also take a shot through closing day, October 31st, at a prize pool of $12,000 in our new Pick'em game by choosing a series of racing and sports props at santaanita.com/contests. Walk-up admission is once again welcome, and we hope to see you soon here at Spectacular Santa Anita.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch here. Join me tomorrow morning from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment as I get you ready for another huge weekend of Breeders' Cup prep races. I'll visit with Keeneland Vice President of Racing Gatewood Bell, go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with trainer Kelly Breen, and look ahead to Sunday's Spinster with Latruska's trainer Fausto Gutierrez. Plus, Keeneland and TVG analyst Scott Hazelton, and this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin, plus so much more. It is a jam-packed 3 hours on tomorrow's Equine Forum, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
And Spice is nice, pushing on. Landings on under pressure to stay pace. Stream of what else got to the inside. And another 2 lengths back. The inside is Heraldia, 6 furlongs in a minute, 11:15 as they make the turn for home. A quarter to go at Pimlico. And Spice is nice on the outside, fighting on with Dream, a little Dream of You on the inside. Dream, a little Dream of You down to the inside. And Spice is nice, keeps on fighting. Spice is nice. Dream, a little Dream of You. 1-2 with a 16th to go. And it's going to be Spice is nice. And John Velasquez, Dream, a little Dream of You is second. Get rid of what ails you is third. And Aurel just finished fourth. And Landing Zone was fifth.
Dr. Dave. Dave Rodman on the call of the 2021 Grade 3 Allaire DuPont at Pimlico earlier this year. Won by Spice is nice. And she's going to try to win the Grade 2 Beldame this Sunday at Belmont Park. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman taking you through 15 graded stakes this weekend around North America. Right now, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, Dave, not all news is good, not all news is bad. but a lot of the news is interesting, and this falls into that category. Alleged Navarro co-conspirator Zulueta to change plea. Following a summer plea change to guilty by disgraced trainer George Navarro in a horse doping case, one of his alleged co-conspirators, Mid-Atlantic trainer Marcos Zulueta, seems ready to follow suit. A change of plea hearing is scheduled before U.S. District Judge Mary Kay Voskal October 15th, the Southern District of New York. In recent months, other defendants, among roughly two dozen individuals charged by prosecutors in the doping scheme, have altered pleas from not guilty to guilty. Navarro is the most high-profile defendant to do so, while another prominent trainer, Jason Service, has maintained a not guilty plea. Attorneys for Service and other defendants sought to suppress government wiretaps, which captured the defendants discussing illegal activities, prosecutors claim. They're accused of contributing to the sale, use, or distribution of adulterated and misbranded performance-enhancing drugs. According to court documents, Navarro and Zulueta discussed in February 2019, Navarro's need for a particular customized performance-enhancing drug referred to as a quote-unquote blocker that would be administered to the Navarro-trained XY Jet. Zulueta agreed to supply the PED via overnight shipment. Of course, XY Jet went on to win the Dubai Golden Shaheen that year, and unfortunately, it was announced in January 2020 by trainer George Navarro that XY Jet had died from a heart attack. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Bloodhorse News Update. Bloodhorse has the largest social media following of any industry news media focused on owners and breeders, with more than 272,000 followers on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you're not already a follower of Bloodhorse on social media, get started today. Dave, before we go on with the weekend stakes preview, when I read stories like this, I don't know if you get the same feeling, but there are only a few reasons why somebody would change their plea. Maybe I'm missing something. One of them is that they obviously see that the prosecutors or the government has enough info on them that it makes no sense for them to plead not guilty anymore. It's just going to hurt their chances. Two, maybe this gives them a chance at a lesser sentence. Or three, maybe it not only gives them a chance at a lesser sentence, but they're also willing to roll over on some of the other defendants.
All of that makes sense. I'm not going to play amateur attorney. It does not seem like it was a good situation when we first heard about it, and it continues to seem murky and dicey and unfortunate. And if we can get it resolved and we can help fix the sport, fantastic.
My guess is that every one of these defendants or alleged co-conspirators who changes their plea from not guilty to guilty hurts the chances of the people who remain strong-minded on pleading not guilty, like Jason Service. This every one of these change of pleas hurts the chances of those who are trying to remain as quote-unquote not guilty. More to come on this, and of course you can read it all at bloodhorse.com. Well, let's jump right back into the graded stakes action, Dave. On Sunday, there are seven graded stakes that we're going to look at, and we're going to start at beautiful Belmont Park. And the fifth race on the Sunday card is the Grade 3 $150,000 Futurity for the two-year-olds going six furlongs on the inner turf. Once again, we have a field of eight going to post here. That could change. I mentioned that the Wesley Ward Philly Chi-Town Lady is entered Saturday against Phillies in the Matron. She's entered Sunday against Colts in the Futurity. Same can be said of Poppy Flower, entered in both races. So don't know if one filly will run in one and one in the other, or they'll both run against the fillies, both against the boys. It's just one of those things that you'll have to pay attention to the scratches on Saturday to know where they're going to go. But still, a tough field of eight to handicap here. Where'd you end up?
Well, it seems to me if you beat Wesley Ward, whether it's Chi-Town Lady or Poppy Flower or both of them, you're going to get a decent price. And I'm not a big fan of girls running against boys. And I understand it's two-year-olds, and I understand Wesley Ward has been successful with that. I don't really understand it. Why, when you could be in restricted races, you're in open company. I don't love this field. I think Ward's horses, either or both, will be favorites. I'm going to try Run Curtis Run on the rail for Mike Maker and Mike Dubb. Two wins in his first two starts, and then last time out ran poorly in the funny side. All three of those races on dirt. I think Run Curtis Run is really going to appreciate the turf. I don't love the fact that the first three races are all against New York breds, but I think there's some ability there, and I think I'll get an okay price.
Okay, so Run Curtis Run for you. I agree that this horse should handle the turf. He's actually my second choice in the race. I went to the Invader from Laurel, number three, Biz Biz Buzz from Mike Trombetta and Javier Castellano. Huge effort in his debut, coming from seven lengths back to win going away by three against maiden special weight competition. Looks like he's been working solidly since at his home base of Fair Hill, obviously facing tougher competition, stepping up against winners and graded stakes competition at that over at Belmont Park. But I don't see any reason Biz Biz Buzz can't be even better second time out than he was in his debut. And he's one of a few in here who have shown a good ability to pass other horses, and I think there should be some an honest pace in here. So Biz Biz Buzz to be rolling from off the pace for me Sunday in the Grade 3 Futurity fifth race on the Belmont Park card. Sixth race on the card Sunday is the Grade 2 Beldame. Fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth. Of course, it's a one-turn mile and an eighth at Belmont Park. $250,000 on the line. One of two big stakes races on Sunday for the fillies and mares, the Beldame at Belmont, the Spinster at Keeneland. So there are probably some runners in this race that tried to stay away from Latruska, who will run on Sunday at Keeneland, and in doing so, they make up a field of eight going this one-turn mile and an eighth at Belmont Park. And you've got the ultra-consistent runner Royal Flag drawn on the outside for Chad Brown and Joel Rosario.
And no question, they'll be happy not to see Latruska running a whale of a race, yet still finishing behind that rival in the personal ensign last time out at Saratoga. Won the Shuvi in July at the Spa after a fairly lengthy break after running a close second to Bonnie South at Keeneland in April. Royal Flag is my choice. I think without Latruska in here, she is the toughest, the most battle-tested. I like that she'll come just off the pace. I respect Horologist. I'm just not sure 2021 form is quite good enough. She's going to have to run back to the way she was running last year when she won a Grade 2 race at Belmont. In fact, it was this very same Grade 2 race at Belmont, or won the Molly Pitcher at Monmouth. And I'm a little bit interested in Zajel with Todd Pletcher and Manny Franco. I don't know what exactly to expect first versus older, but perhaps if the race can be won up front, then Zajel could be a factor. But I think Royal Flag is the classiest and most accomplished of this group.
I agree with you, and I think she's going to get the right trip on the outside. The pace should be fair, not necessarily really fast. Horologist can be close to the pace. She's shown speed her last two, but she doesn't have to be on the lead. I think Miss Marissa's more likely to be the one who's definitely up there. And if Horologist decides to go, I think Miss Marissa will press from the outside. But trusting in Joel Rosario not to keep Royal Flag too far out of it if the pace is not hot, I think he will do that, especially with that benefit of the outside post. Royal Flag for me as well in the Grade 2 Beldame, Race 6 on the Sunday Belmont card. Skipping ahead to race number 8, good one here, the Grade 3 $150,000 Knickerbocker, easy for me to say. 3-year-olds and up going a mile and 1/8 on the inner turf at Belmont Park. Nice field of 9 here, Dave, and I don't think we'll have a heavy favorite in here. It's pretty wide open.
I think you can make an argument for almost all 9 of them in the field. Only 2 have graded stakes wins. Field Pass on the rail for Mike Maker and Dylan Davis, and Corelli for Jonathan Thomas and Junior Alvarado. This is a really open race. A lot of options. The two that I like the best are Breaking the Rules for Shug McGahey and Joel Rosario. I really liked that last race off a layoff, off a long layoff, coming from behind, winning a $100,000 optional claimer at Saratoga. Second off, a layoff, and I think we'll like the stretch out here. I could say almost the exact same things about Sacred Life, who is my choice for Chad Brown and Mike Dubb. It's third off the layoff. Last time out, just lost to the two, breaking the rules. I think has more back class to go on. And more than anything, I really think the mile that Sacred Life ran in each of his first two races this year is a little bit short. I think he does his best racing at a mile and a 16th and a mile and an eighth, and I think he'll be coming late. I think both of those horses will be coming late, and it should be a really, really fun addition to the Knickerbocker.
I believe it'll be a good stretch battle as well, and I picked Sacred Life on top two for everything that you said. The only thing that worries me about Sacred Life, and I'd love your input on this, is the trip he's going to get, because as you mentioned, he's a horse that likes to come from a little bit off the pace, not necessarily from 10 or 12 lengths out of it, but 4, 5, 6 lengths off the pace. Last time out, he was as far as 9.5 lengths back, and he missed by a half a length. He may have been just too far back and too wide that day to get up. But if you glance through this field, it's hard to figure out who's going to make the lead. I mean, Epic Bromance has shown speed at times, but he makes the lead when the pace is ridiculously slow. I really wouldn't call him pace, as it were. You know, he's making the lead when they're going 49 seconds for the half. NYC has been up close to the pace when they're crawling along as well. So I can't figure out who is going to set it up for Sacred Life, or do we just need Sacred Life to lay closer than he's been laying?
I have a very good friend who I sometimes partner with on bets that says, in a race like this, if you can't find the pace setter, you better bet anything that looks like they're going to be in the front, because maybe the race will just fall apart for them. NYC led this race for a long portion of it last year. You mentioned there was no pace. There were only five horses and still couldn't make it. But you're right. Epic Bromance, NYC, should be forwardly placed and may be doing it at pretty slow fractions.
So we're kind of going against the general theory of pace handicapping here, in that we're selecting a runner who figures to close in a race where we know that the pace is not going to be that great. We're just trusting in Sacred Life. Listen, this is a race where I admittedly do not have a very strong opinion. It's a spread race for me.
No
question. I'm
picking
Sacred Life because, you know, well, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make a pick in these races. If I say I'm using numbers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5, and 8, that's not really helping anybody at all. So I am picking Sacred Life very hesitantly. He is my top choice in the race. Sounds like he's Dave's top choice. Doesn't sound like it's a real strong play for either of us, but Sacred Life in the Grade 3 Knickerbocker Race 8 on the Sunday card at beautiful Belmont Park. We'll take one more break. When we come back, we'll head to Keeneland. We'll head to Woodbine for some more graded stakes action. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 12:55 p.m. Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:45 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget, on October 17th, we have the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor Stakes and the Grade 2 Nearctic Stakes. With racing now through December 4th and plenty of weekend stakes, you are not going to want to miss out on the action at Woodbine. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. In this week's edition, I take a look back at the racing career of Boston Harbor. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Mighty Hot kicking right back. Mighty Hot still in front. Clayton in second. Running on his dotted line in behind the top four as they corner, but it's Mighty Hot in front, the one to catch. In the Queen's Clay, chased by Clayton. Then to Cumsey's War. And behind them, Curlin's Voyage, but Mighty Hot is long gone. Mighty Hot has got the Queen's Clay completely wrapped up. And this is a dominant performance. Daisuke Fukumoto. Mighty Hot, full of heart, by 8 lengths. Belichick second, Clayton third, to Cumsey's War fourth, and Curlin's Voyage was fifth. 2-1-98.
Robert Geller on the call of the 2020 Queens Plate at Woodbine, won so impressively by Mighty Hot. Official margin of victory was 7.5 lengths. He just crushed the field in the Mighty Hot, and he figures to be one of the ones to beat in the Grade 3 Durham Cup on Sunday at Woodbine. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, and Dave Friedman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Folks, the fourth week of the Belmont Fall Horse Racing season comes with new opportunities to get ready for the Breeders' Cup 2021. Enjoy a special promotion for new Naira Betts users for up to $200 first deposit match. Just use the promo code HRRN200. No spaces in there. HRRN200. And in addition, for this weekend only, win and you're in with the Naira Betts Breeders' Cup Challenge Pick 6 contest. Check it out. Presented by America's Day at the Races. Running on FS2 every afternoon, now through Sunday, where the team will provide live coverage always of Belmont Park and the Churchill Downs Fall Meet all fall season on FS2, America's Day at the Races. By the way, the schedule for America's Day at the Races coming up starting tomorrow, 12:30 to 5:30 on FS2. Sunday, 12:30 to 1 on FS2, 1 to 2 on FS1, and then 2 to 5:30 back on FS2. So just a little bit of a hiccup there going from 2 to 1 to 2 on Sunday. Once again, we've got four more races to look at on this week's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. We'll head to Keeneland, and their Sunday card is highlighted by the Grade 1 $500,000 Spinster Stakes. Fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth on the main track. It's the ninth race on their card. Field of seven, and all eyes are on the 4-5 morning line favorite, Latruska.
I feel like I've tried to beat Latruska and failed so many times that you get beaten down into submission and you go, fine, she's spectacular. 5-6 this year, 16-21 lifetime. And I was ready to say, I'm just going to take her and she's going to win and it's that simple. And it brings up a question to me, Bobby, and I'm curious what you would think. If She Dares the Devil were in this race, what would the odds be on She Dares the Devil?
She would be the second choice in the field.
And she would be 5-2, 3-1, 4-1?
Yeah, I would say that she would be about 5-2 in this race, and everyone else would be a solid price above that.
Crystal Ball, last time out, lost to She Dares the Devil by a neck. I think she's clearly the top challenger to Latruska in this race. Do I think she's going to win? Probably not. I think Latruska is the most likely winner. I have decided personally, if you give me 7-2 or better on Crystal Ball, I'm going to play her to win this race. Otherwise, Latruska.
Okay, I am not a Crystal Ball fan in this race. I think Latruska is the one to beat. I think she's just a mare that's much better now than she was when we first saw her in this country. Up until about the fall of last year, she was a filly that would make the lead, and you didn't know how she would do. Sometimes she'd go on with it, sometimes she'd fade into oblivion. She's taken out that last factor. She doesn't fade into oblivion anymore. When she makes the lead, she wins. And the only time she's been beaten in her last seven starts is when she just didn't get out of the gate at all in the Grade 2 Azari at Oaklawn Park and was behind She Dares the Devil all the way around and still almost got up to beat her that afternoon. I don't think Letruska lays over this field, but I think she'll be in front of this field. I think she's the one to beat. I'm not going to try to beat her. I put her on top. I would use number 5, Envoûtant. I'd use number 1, Dunbar Road Beneath her. That's not really saying very much. They're going to be, you know, somewhere in that second, third choice range. So those exactas aren't going to pay a lot. But Letruska, for me, I think she keeps her winning ways going in the Grade 1 Spinster. 10th race on the Sunday card at Keeneland is the $200,000 Grade 2 Bourbon Stakes for the two-year-olds, going a mile and a 16th on the turf. And we've got a big field of 14.
I think it's a really, really tough race, a competitive race, and a good betting race. I'm interested in Play Action Pass, who has a terrible post, but I think has basically done nothing wrong. Last two efforts, both on turf, are strong, winning in his turf debut, or winning in the turf debut at a mile and a 16th, then coming back and running in a stakes race at Kentucky Downs and finishing a perfectly fine third. I think you have to consider Tis the Bomb, who won that stakes race at Kentucky Downs on turf for the very first time in that race. But the one I'm going with is Red Danger, first time routing, but I've liked everything I've seen so far, and I think it'll translate to two turns.
And he's bred to handle it, being by Orb out of a distorted human mare. And if he routes as good as he sprints, he's definitely the one of the ones. And 7-2 seems like a fair price. I'm going to take a little bit of a screwball here in number 2, Stolen Base, for Mike Maker and Flavian Pratt. And Flavian Pratt is a major reason that I am taking this horse. I am a big believer that Flavian Pratt improves most horses that he gets aboard from different riders. And Stolen Base was good enough to be favored in a tough race at Kentucky Downs last time out. And he didn't run a bad race that day. He was very wide into the stretch, but he finished second behind Heaven Street, who is 8-1 on the morning line in this race as well. Stolen Base, I think, is capable of better than that. I think he'll run better getting onto a conventional turf course, drawn well toward the inside, picking up Flavian Pratt. 10-1 today as opposed to 2-1 last time out. I'm going to take the price chance with number 2, Stolen Base, in the Grade 2 Bourbon Race 10 on the Keeneland card Sunday. Let's head north of the border up to Woodbine. Coming out of commercial break, we heard the stretch run of last year's Queen's Plate, won so impressively by Mighty Heart. Mighty Heart shows up in the Grade 3 $150,000 Durham Cup for the three-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th on the main track at Woodbine. Last time out, Mighty Heart was sent off a 3-5 favorite in the Grade 3 Seagram Cup, and he basically chased Tappet to Win all the way around the racetrack. Well, he's going to have to run against Tappet to Win again. Tappet to Win may find himself on the lead by himself again. Do you think the results will remain the same?
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure why they should be any different. I see the race looking just like it was run a month ago. I don't really see anything different. The horses are roughly the same. The field size is the same. The distance is the same. Synthetic is the same. I think Tappet to Win really liked the synthetic surface, and I think he'll run well again.
Well, I don't dispute anything that you said right there, and for some reason I picked Mighty Heart on top, and I don't have a solid reason why I think he'll turn the tables on Tappet to Win. I do like the fact that Patrick Husbands is getting aboard Mighty Heart for the first time. I think Mighty Heart has races in his past performances that are better than what Tappet to Win has shown. Now, Tappet to Win actually has a few races in his PPs that are very, very good. He ran a race in June last year at Belmont Park where he blitzed an allowance field and went a mile in his 16th and like 139-3, where there were folks that thought that he was the major fly in the ointment to Tis the Law, if anyone was, in last year's running of the Belmont Stakes. Well, it turned out he really wasn't a fly in the ointment. He faded very badly in the Belmont Stakes. And I'm not 100% sure that Tappet to win is better routing than sprinting. I know he won the Seagram Cup last time out, and I know he'll probably get the lead again, but I trust Mighty Heart more than I trust Tappet to win to run a good race. Mighty Heart does it every time he goes to the races. Tappet to win does not do it every time he goes to the races. So for that reason alone, I'm going to take Mighty Heart, last year's Queen's Plate victor, to turn the tables on Tappet to win and win the Grade 3 Durham Cup. A short but very sweet field of five going the mile and a 16th on the synthetic main track, Race 3 Sunday at Woodbine. Jump all the way forward to the ninth race on the Sunday Woodbine card, and we get the Grade 3 Ontario Matron. It's $150,000 on the line for the fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th. So basically the female version of the Durham Cup, which is run earlier in the day. We've got a field of six here, Dave, and another filly who's coming off a real big effort last time out, number six, Sky Gaze, trying to make it two in a row and five of her last six.
Yeah, this race feels just like the Durham Cup. You've got Sky Gaze, who has beaten several of these horses running the same distance on the same surface and now trying to do it again. Mark Cassie has three of the six entered in here, and I just don't see a compelling reason why the result of this race is going to be any different than it was a month ago. Art of Almost is reasonable, has some back class. I just think Sky Gaze beat Art of Almost and Crystal Glacier pretty easily last time out. I'm not sure why that's not going to take place again.
No, I picked Sky Gaze on top too, and it's not so. I mean, in addition to everything you said and the fact that she's already proven against most of these runners, she has the ability to lay close to the pace, and I think that's going to help her because it looks like the main competition likes to come from a few lengths out of it. So I think they'll have to pass Sky Gaze if they want to win. Sky Gaze, it's not that she has to be on the front end. If she makes the lead, it's all over. But I think she's going to lay close to the pace, maybe tracking number five, Juxtapose, who may be more of a sprinter than a router, but who knows? If she gets the lead and gets brave, Gary Boulanger, obviously a very capable rider for a long, long time, both in Canada and down here in the U.S., riding Juxtapose. He's going to get her in front for as long as he can. In the end, I don't think it's going to be enough to hold off Sky Gaze. Dave and I going with Sky Gaze to get the job done again, get her second win in a row. It would be her fifth win from her last six starts. Sky Gaze in the Grade 3 Ontario Matron, Race 9 on the Sunday card at Woodbine. That's all 15 graded stakes around North America in the books. It's time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
Take it away, Dave.
You know, what makes horse racing great and what makes handicapping so fun is the challenge. Not just the challenge in picking winners, but the challenge in finding value and getting return on investment. Two Grade 1 races at Keeneland this weekend. Big, big fields. And even if you're betting on the favorite, based on the morning line, and even if it goes down a little bit, there's still value. The First Lady Stakes, I love Altiqua. I just think that horse has been so good for Charlie Appleby. Every time out, she runs big. If you give me 7-2, if you give me 5-2, I'm more than happy to take Altiqua. And just an hour or so later, you'll see Order of Australia in the Keeneland Turf Mile. I just think, again, with a similar value in a big, huge field, it's a horse that's better than these opponents. John Velasquez is up. Aidan O'Brien's been terrific racing in North America this year. I think those are two really good horses, better than their competition, and you get a decent price.
Okay, so Dave giving you a bonus best bet. He likes both Altica in the First Lady and Order of Australia in the Keeneland Turf Mile. I'm going to go to Race 7 on the Saturday card at Keeneland, a horse that we both like, or a mare that we both like. Belle's the one. I think she's just going to beat this field. I think her best, her closest competition is Frank's Roquette, and I'm not sure she runs as well without Lasix as she does with Lasix. No Lasix tomorrow in the Thoroughbred Club of America, so Belle's the one for me to get the win in that impressive, in that staunch Grade 2 affair. That'll wrap up today's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. A reminder, a big day tomorrow on the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine. Mike Penna is joined by Keeneland Vice President of Racing Gatewood Bell as they look ahead to a loaded Fall Stars weekend. They go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with trainer Kelly Breen and look ahead to Sunday's Spinster with Latruska's trainer Fausto Gutierrez. Keeneland and TVG analyst Scott Hazelton shares his thoughts on the Weekend Stakes. Charlestown announcer Paul Espinoza discusses the West Virginia Breeders' Classic, plus this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkins. In the room with Sean Clancy, today's first bet, and a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker. And for those of you who don't know Kurt, that's all he does is stroll. He doesn't move faster than that. Should be another power-packed edition of the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment tomorrow here on HRRN and every Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. They're playing our song, Dave, for our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Freeman. I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us all week, and especially tonight on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Have a great week, and we'll see you back next week right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.